الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. اما بعد, we praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى abundantly. We ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. This will be a rough translation to the khutbah which you just heard in an effort to make sure that we're all on the same page because of the language barrier. Basically, in this day and time, we have become paranoid because of the many diseases and viruses which have spread amongst us. And the first thing we want to highlight is that this is only because of our sins. That's the first point that we must agree on, that these are a consequence of our disobedience. And we have many evidences for that from the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ and even the ayat of the Quran, that there is no calamity which befalls you illa bima kasabat aydikum, except with that which you have earned with your own hands. And that every musibah in barr and bahr, in the ocean or on land, is because of what we have put forth. And Allah pardons a lot. Then the Prophet ﷺ said that if certain sins become prevalent amongst us, then we will be afflicted with diseases which our predecessors did not know. And in this day and time we have AIDS, and now we have this coronavirus, and so on and so forth, things which were not necessarily known for previous generations, not necessarily in the recent generation. So all these are a consequence of our misbehavior, and it is a reminder from Allah so that we may return to Him. So it is necessary that we take that into consideration. There must be some effort on an individual level, on a communal level, on a family level, that we rectify our condition, because this is from Allah. Nevertheless, if we don't respond accordingly, then we will still have to deal with this disease. And sadly, we read now every day, there are 5 articles, 6 articles, all over the news. We have 3, 4 cases, 5 new deaths. And it's becoming something that the people are freaking out about. You know, people walking around with face masks and, the Dettol hand sanitizer. It's just, we're freaking out. And of course, the doctor's advice is never harmonious. They contradict each other. So one doctor says, don't use the face mask, it will not help you. In fact, it will make you more prone to get the virus. And others say the face mask is helpful. And you have a difference of opinions among the doctors, the medical field. But in the midst of all this, have we ever asked ourselves, what does the Sunnah have to offer in this regard? Seriously. And if we were to do so, we would be shocked that what the Prophet ﷺ taught 1400 years ago is actually the most accurate and the most relevant instructions to this particular phenomena or any other phenomena. And that our religion already stipulated certain conditions that we have to apply upon ourselves and in our community as means of prevention. Prevention before the disease comes, and after it comes, how we're supposed to deal with it. Before we go into the actual means of protection and prevention, first we have to agree that our religion is one which emphasizes purity and cleanliness. And this fabricated hadith that an-nadhafa min ad-deen, or cleanliness is part of religion, is not a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. It's a fabrication, it's a lie against him. But regardless of this hadith, we have multiple evidences from the Prophet ﷺ that prove and highlight that it is incumbent on each and every one of us to be clean and to smell good. Physical body has to be clean, clothing has to be clean, odor has to be nice. And today, you go to the mall and you smell bakhur and you smell perfume and you smell all kinds of lovely things. And you come to the masjid and you smell the opposite of that, which is very bad. It's horrible. I mean, we cannot even put words. I cannot think of the right words. How can someone come to the house of Allah and be harmed by the staunch, horrible smell? Everything. Cigarettes, sweat, socks. I'm sorry, being a little explicit here, but that's the truth. At the area of the shoes, you can't even stand at the area of the shoes because of the foul smell. And this has become normal. This has become normal and acceptable. This was never normal, and it will never be acceptable. this is a problem, a defect we have, which we have to fix. Each one of us knows how Allah made him. Some people sweat more than others. Some people have a fouler smell than others. ما في مشكلة. No one's going to blame himself for how Allah made him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. But did Allah give us means to take care of that? Absolutely. Absolutely. So where is the cleanliness today? We don't see it. We barely see it. We rarely see it. So the deen commanded us to clip our nails. Now you see long nails with all kinds of, dirt in there. And then the people who have a special, the pinky with the long nail. This is for cleaning ear purposes, cleaning nose. Ish hada. This is abhorrent. This is like a tiger, like a lion, like some animal, not a human being. We don't have anything in our deen that allows you to grow one nail extra long for cleaning purposes, scratching purposes, to open things with it. Where did this come from? This came from the non-Muslim, maybe Harley Davidson people, some crazy lunatics, not a Muslim. These nails have to be clipped and clean, so no dirt comes under them. Now the doctors tell you that one of the most prevalent reasons for the spread of disease is the bacteria and the microbes which live under your nails. But Islam already told us to clip our nails. Do we have to wait for the doctor to tell us to clip our nails? This is something that is no need to be addressed. And the same goes for the hair. Every man in this masjid, it's obligatory on him to remove his armpit hair. You must remove it. It is not an option. You like it, you keep it. You don't like it, you remove it. Every man, it's one of the al-fitr, the natural way Allah made the son of Adam. Removing the armpit hair and the pubic hair. Excuse my language, but this is the deen. We have to speak the deen. Hair you're supposed to grow is beard. Mustache, debatable. Some scholars say shave, some scholars say trim. We're not going to mention the difference. No problem. Choose the one that you think is closer to the sunnah. This one has to be removed. This one is up to you. The one on your head, it's up to you. But the rest of the body, like armpit, it must be removed. And one of the main reasons behind the foul smell is that that hair is not adequately removed. Furthermore, Allah has allowed human beings to invent deodorants and different means to keep that area clean. Now you may say it has alcohol, I don't want, fine, jazakallah khair. You want to avoid the alcoholic deodorant, even though this is a point of contention. Meaning it is not agreed upon among the scholars that this type of alcohol, which is not the one that you drink, is going to be forbidden. There's a group of scholars that say it's absolutely fine to use it. Let's say you are convinced that it is not allowed to use it. There are non-alcoholic deodorants that do the job very well. You may pay an extra 5 riyals, fi sabilillah ya shaykh. It's for the sake of Allah. It's okay. It's okay to pay for it. So that when you come to the masjid, you feel fresh and the people around you feel fresh. And the same goes for the socks and the whole thing. When we come to the masjid or even outside the masjid, we have to look and smell good. The idea that I don't care for the dunya, so I look all, disheveled and my hair is standing up, is against the sunnah. When the Prophet ﷺ entered the house of Jabir ibn Abdullah, he saw a man with his hair standing. Huh? He didn't have time to comb his hair, didn't look after his hair. He said, can this man not find anything to fix his hair? Are you going to convince me there's no comb? There's no... back then they wouldn't use gel. They used like teeb, like duhun, the same oud, the same stuff we use there. They used to use it to first smell good and fix the hair. He doesn't have anything to fix his hair. Meaning it's from the sunnah to make sure that you're well groomed. You're well groomed. Even if you have a beard, you have to take care of the beard. And another time he saw a man with his clothes dirty. He said, this man cannot find anything to wash his thobe. His clothes are dirty, he cannot find anything to wash them. Of course he can. Because he can, he was suggesting that the person does that. So that means if you have clothing, either you have a wife who can wash, therefore she should wash, or you have 3 riyals to go to the makwa, ghasil and kawi for 3 riyals, and it gets the job done. There's no excuse to look dirty and have stains and everything on the thawb on permanent basis because it's okay. In reality, it is not okay. unless you are poor. And if you are poor, no one will say a word. No one will say a word. Allah al-musta'an, may Allah facilitate the affair of the Muslims and bless them and give them a lot of sustenance. But the one who can afford, you have money, you have to do something. The Prophet ﷺ saw a man who was wearing the same clothes when he would come to the Jumu'ah. He would not look very, you know, in good mint condition. He told him, did Allah give you any wealth? He said, oh, Messenger of Allah, I have camels and cows and sheep. He said, then let Allah see the consequences of His favor upon you. Let that reflect in you. Yani you have money. What are you doing with this money? Just collecting money? You have money, buy yourself some good, nice clothes and buy some expensive perfume. This is fi sabilillah. The Sahaba used to do this. Spend big money on a garment to go to the masjid. Ya bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. O son of Adam, take the best adornment at every place of prostration. Today we have confused things because of certain denominations within Islam who claim to be zuhad, the ascetic, those who are preparing for the life to come. So he looks horrible because he doesn't care for the dunya. This is incorrect. If this was the way of the Prophet ﷺ, then we would have known that. All of the evidences prove to the contrary. So my brothers in Islam, the first expectation, and that's for male and female, make sure that you are in excellent condition always and forever. If you are a labor worker and your work necessitates that you be construction work or something that would make you dirty, then you should bring with you a separate garment for salah. Bring a separate garment for salah. So before dhuhr, 20 minutes before dhuhr, you go and you wash yourself and you prepare yourself, you change your garment, come to the masjid, pray, and then go back and continue work. What's the big deal? We're just lazy. So we bring a sajada from the back and then we just throw it on the ground, and the person all looks bad and smells bad. Say, Allah, I don't care what happens to the others. This is a crime. It's a crime. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, if someone had garlic, and garlic, does it appear outside or inside? Inside, ya akhi. Yani now you go eat bake, huh? And some people cannot eat bake without, mashallah, 4 or 5 of this, you know, garlic sauce. And then he comes to the masjid as if the masjid is his father's property. And every time he makes ruku' or sujood, all burps comes out and all this unbelievable stench. This is haram. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they will grab this person and throw him out of the masjid and send him to the graveyard, to baqiyah. Stay over there until you smell better, then come pray with us. He would not be allowed to enter the masjid. Meaning we can technically have a security guard standing at the masjid smelling the people before they go in. If they smell like cigarettes, say khalli outside. Because you will harm everybody. And the most important, the hadith says, the malaika are harmed by that which harms the people. So when one of us comes to the masjid stinky, he not only harms his fellow brothers, the malaika, the angels are harmed. So you come here to get ajr, you get sin and calamities, and you go back out. You're better off praying at home, where you are harming no one but yourself. I'm being tough and a little fierce, I know. But because sugarcoating sometimes just doesn't work. We always try to make it nice. It doesn't work. How many years have we been dealing with this? We have to know how serious the situation is. So that each one of us knows. If you ate garlic for whatever reason, and you cannot control your burp, don't come to the masjid. A chewing gum doesn't fix it. Brushing your teeth doesn't fix it either. Because it's inside the stomach. And it only comes out when you start moving, your stomach start moving, your ruku' and sujood. This is what brings out the smell. Not your mouth. Your mouth, you can get rid of it with tic-tac. But the stomach, it takes 5-6 hours, huh, to get rid of that smell of garlic, which you get with the bake. But that's Islam. That's the Prophet ﷺ telling someone to leave. Imagine the Messenger of Allah. And we need to understand that the Messenger of Allah telling someone, leave, go out. La taqrib, la taqrab musallana hada. Don't come close to our place of musalla because of the way you smell. Now if we say this, you say you're tough and rough and you're mean to the Muslims. No. But the truth is, these things are never highlighted or rarely ever highlighted. So cleanliness, cleanliness, cleanliness. If we are clean, then we can already have a serious means of prevention from this corona or any other virus. But besides that, let's say it's too late. It's too late. It's here, it's around, you're clean, you're looking after yourself still. The Prophet ﷺ taught us 4 approaches of prevention. Number one, he said, if a ta'un, if any type of epidemic or disease. If you hear about it in a land, do not travel to this land. And if it comes to a land in which you are in, do not leave to another land. Why? Because of the possibility of getting that disease spread. It's a type of disease which can be spread among the people, contagious, that's what I'm looking for. So if it comes here, don't go back home and you know that you have it and go spread it among your family members and say, Wallah, Allah hafidh, Allah will protect them. La ya akhi, stay here. And that's why if someone in the hospital is put in a special unit because of that disease, this is totally fine. And it's actually from the sunnah, believe it or not. Similarly, don't go to a place where the disease exists. So if we're being told, don't go to crowded places, don't go to hospitals because it's very common there, you should really avoid going there unless there's a need. Because you can easily contract the disease over there. Secondly, the Prophet said in another hadith that run away from the person with a particular disease the way you run away from a lion. If you know someone has a disease, run or flee from him the way you flee from a lion. How do you flee from a lion? Huh? You say, just 1 second, I'm going to walk away right now. Huh? And you go step by step, or you just run. You run. This is how you're supposed to run with someone. Now, you don't do it in front of his face. And a brother come to give you salam, say, brother, sorry. Be realistic. But if you know that someone has the disease, don't know, I'm Shaykh al-Islam, la wallah, I will visit him in the hospital, even if he's sick, even if I'm going to die. La ya akhi, this is not from the deen of Islam. This is not, you're brave, you're against any disease. We run away from whatever the disease may be. This is from the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi sallam. Thirdly, he instructed us that if one of us sneezes, he said, if one of you sneeze, then let him cover his mouth with his hands and lower his voice. So it's actually a sunnah to prevent that whatever comes out of saliva. When you sneeze, which people usually sneeze on the left or right or at other people, unfortunately, it's from the sunnah to prevent that. Because this is how the disease spread. So this is from the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ in regards to, and he said, finally, a sick person should not visit a healthy person. And that reaffirms the previous concept. If you're sick, don't visit a healthy person because you may bring the disease to that person as well. But this is in terms of prevention. Furthermore, here is a very important aspect of the religion. And there's a book which I must have mentioned a million times now, less, called Husnul Muslim. I know it's available in Urdu. I know it's available in English. I know it's available in Hindi. I know it's available in Tagalog. I know it's available in every language in the world, almost. Tiny little book for 2 riyals, Yashir. You find it, I think, even at Jarir. Any bookstore. And in this book, or any da'wah center, it has ad'iyah and adhkar, supplications and certain remembrance from the Prophet ﷺ in regards to the various affairs of one's daily life. An aspect of that has to do with diseases or prevention against harm. So for example, from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, before he would go to sleep, he would put his hands together, then he would blow on his hands, then he would recite Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, and then Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, the whole surah. Then he would wipe his face and his head and whatever he could of his body. He would do so 3 times. Now, don't get funny, because some people now do it after every salah and after every adhan and after, say, Ya Akhil Aziz, if the Prophet ﷺ did something at a particular time, you do it also at that particular time. Don't add from you. Don't add something which he could have done it after every salah, he could have. He didn't. So stick to the sunnah. Don't start applying it in a time which the Prophet ﷺ did not apply it. He applied it before sleep, we apply it before sleep. That is means of protection while you are asleep. Another means of prevention or sunnah is Ayatul Kursi. Before you go to sleep, you recite Ayatul Kursi because no shaitan will be able to approach you the whole time you're asleep. Thirdly, from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is to recite the last 2 ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, which we should all have memorized by now. Again, nothing will approach you, no harm will touch you the whole night when you recite them before you go to sleep. After Fajr, and I'm sure you understood it even in Arabic, after Fajr, when you're done with the Salah, before you speak or before you move, say 10 times لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير. 10 times. Then Allah will give you 10 good deeds, and He will erase 10 bad deeds, and will raise you 10 degrees, and it will be a protection for you the whole day from every sin, from every harm, and it will be a protection or a fortress against the shaitan until the end of the hadith. This is a sunnah which is neglected. Most of us don't apply it, but this is among the means of protection throughout the day. Furthermore, we learn from the Prophet ﷺ, when you go to a new place, and this is very important, you go into the park, you go in on a picnic, you go into the mountain, you go in to swim to the ocean, when you first go down in that new location, you should say, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. I seek refuge with Allah's most perfect words from the evil of that which He created. Nothing will harm you as long as you are in this location. This is important. Before you go swimming, as soon as you go into the sea, you make this dua. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ will protect you. Before you go anywhere, you make this dua, Allah will protect you. Every morning and every evening, 3 times. بِسْمِ اللَّهِ لَا يَضُرُّ مَعَ اسْمِهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. 3 times in Adhkar al-Sabah, 3 times in the evening, Allah Azza wa Jalla will protect you from everything which may harm you. If you see someone who's been afflicted with a calamity, there's a dua. Alhamdulillah alladhi afani mimma abtalaka bihi wa faddalani ala kathirin mimma khalaqa tafzila. Important dua. You drive in your car, you see a car accident. It's a sunnah to say this dua. You praise Allah that He protected you from what He afflicted others with. And He raised you above many people a lot. Alhamdulillah that it wasn't you. If you make this dua, Allah Azza wa Jalla will not put you in this predicament. Important ad'iya. We don't know about them. Fine. But now we know about them. We have to apply them. We have to apply them. These are a treasure from the Prophet ﷺ that he gave his ummah until the end of time. But look, we have become so careless. We listen to doctor, we listen to the Ministry of Health, we listen to A, we listen to B. What happened to listening to these? These are more effective than anything else. Because these have to do with Allah Azza wa Jal. These are what Allah will protect you with. Sihr, magic is haqq. Al-ayn, evil eye is haqq. But only by the will of Allah. No magician can harm you except by the will of Allah. So if you are on good relationship, good terms with Allah, no one can do anything. No virus, nothing. So this is me, an invitation to strengthen our iman, to strengthen our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. And then it doesn't mean that you become careless. No, we trust Allah and then we use the means Allah made available. We avoid harm, we avoid disease. We look after ourselves, we look after others. If you're sick, don't go to work. Don't go to work. So you will not contract that disease to other people. It's part of loving for your brother what you love for yourself. So the conclusion, brothers and sisters, that book, please buy it. Because in it, 90% of the ad'iyah I just mentioned are already there. And more. And more. Let's learn them, apply them from today, and teach them to our children. Inshallah, if we all, you know, unite upon the truth, and return to Allah, and apply the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah can remove this epidemic in an instant. All Allah will say is, be, and it will be gone. But we're being tested. We're being tested, and this is part of the test. That we remind each other of the sunnah. This is the objective behind these tests. That we reach this very point we are having right now. This is a big ni'mah from Allah, that we are in this position. So let us appreciate it, show thankfulness to Allah, and apply the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ as means of prevention. Jazakum Allah khair for waiting so long for the translation. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.